joy to be here. And man, thank God for Pastor. Just had surgery and back in the pulpit. And man, praise God. It's awesome. Can't keep him down. Amen. Wow. This is going to be good, I know. Praise God. Man, this is, I mean, some people think that spiritual warfare is just coming to church in the rain. Man, you guys are hungry people. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to tell you one funny, and is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway. I think I may have shared this with you weeks or months ago, but this is still funny. Some of you wouldn't have heard it. It's called My Favorite Animal. Our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone else laughed. My parents told me to always tell the truth, and I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened, and he said my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said they love animals very much. I do too, especially chicken, pork and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he laughed too. Then he told me not to do it again. The next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. I told her it was chicken. She asked me why. I said, so I told her it was because so you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. And he laughed and told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked us to tell her what famous person we admire the most. I told her Colonel Sanders. Guess where I am now? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I had a good message prepared until we got stalled and in the rain, and then God downloaded something else to me, and what He put in my heart is that this is a day of healing, and it's not only today, but this is a time of healing. It's a time of receiving healing, but it's also a time of ministering healing. So we need to learn to receive healing, but we also need to expect God to move with healing power through us to others. Amen. And in fact, that's Kenneth Hagin said that healing is the dinner bell. It's what God uses to advertise the gospel. Are you with me? But He also uses it because He loves people, and he wants them well. He doesn't want them sick. How many of you know that sickness is of the devil? It didn't come from God. How many of you have children? Okay. How many of you would ever one day of their lives want them to be sick? My only daughter is here, Michelle, and then her daughter Madeline is here, and there's not a day that I would ever want when Michelle was little, ever want her sick. How many of you know that's true? And there's not a day that it's the will of Michelle for her daughter Madeline to be sick. And how many of you know that's true? Okay, and if that's true with us, Matthew 7:7 says that, you know, if you being human, evil or human, know how to give good gifts to your, how much more will your Heavenly Father? How many of you know your Heavenly Father loves you and He wants you well? He doesn't want you sick. So I want to talk to you this morning about my wife and I's healing journey, our experience with healing that'll give you hope, because we didn't know anything about healing, and God began to teach us. And then tonight I want to talk to you about the major hindrances, the major things that keep people from receiving healing today. And we're going to pray for anyone that wants to be prayed for, and you'll receive healing today. Amen. In fact, I've got my healing book, and I just got another book that we got printed. It was called Scriptures to Live By, and it actually, I got that book. They're just categories of scripture, but my son Michael, I'll talk to you about him a little bit this morning. He was healed off of those scriptures that I've got in a book now, and I'm going to bring them tonight. We left them at the airport. Okay. So, but we'll have those tonight. And tonight, when we eliminate all the, all the hindrances to healing, then you just hatch off and get well. I mean, it's no problem. Healing is not a problem. It's not a problem on God's part. It's just usually between our ears that we have a problem with healing. Now, look at Matthew chapter 4. And y'all can just put up the King James Version, guys, the King James Version, okay, of these verses that I'm using the New King James, but I'm going with the Apostle Paul's version right now, the pastor's version. All right, Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. Okay, and I have the New King James here, so I'm going to have to read, let y'all read. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. Everybody say teaching. Teaching in their synagogues. There it is. And preaching. Everybody say preaching. The gospel of the kingdom and healing. Everybody say healing. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So there were, go down to verse 24. Verse 24. And then his fame went abroad, was throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. Everybody say all sick people. That were taken with divers or different diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils and were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Them who? All sick people. Okay? So it's the will of God. See, Jesus went about teaching. Everybody say teaching, teaching. Preaching, preaching, healing. Now, when in John, don't turn over there, but in John, I think it's 21, along in there, where Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." How did he send Jesus? Teaching. Everybody say teaching, teaching. Preaching, preaching, healing. Now, let me tell you the difference between teaching and preaching. I'm going to do more preaching this morning. I'll do more teaching tonight. Okay, difference between teaching and preaching is not volume, necessarily. Okay, preaching is more proclaiming. Teaching is more explaining. Okay, preaching assumes that you know and is challenging you to act on what you know. It's exhorting you to act on what you know. Teaching assumes that you'll act and is trying to get more knowledge to you so that you can, explaining, so that you can act, you have faith and to act on it. So Jesus taught, he preached, he taught, and he healed. And if you and I are sent to do the same thing in Fort Worth, Texas, to preach, to teach, and to heal. And that's everybody. So that includes me. And it's His will to heal all. But the problem in my wife and my healing journey, the problem was that we started, I was saved In 1973, in a Methodist church, I was going to Methodist church. It was, I think, maybe called partial hormone evangelism. I was just following my wife there. And so, but I got saved in 1973 in a Methodist church on the word I'd heard in a Baptist church 7 years before. And we began, hadn't been married too long, and we just started our journey with the Lord and started, but you know, we weren't learning anything where we were, but I would watch on television, I would watch Catherine Kuhlman, and I would watch Oral Roberts. And I was lost. I was a, you know, heathen background, and she was a good Methodist girl. But we, neither one of us knew much. Okay? She got saved in a Billy Graham crusade, and then, or saved in church, and then was reaffirmed in a Billy Graham crusade. But I started reading the Bible then, after I got saved, Dan, and I read verses like this, and I thought, now, wait a minute. This is happening here in the Bible, but I don't see this in the church I'm going to. Let me proclaim something and declare something to you today. You will see this verse accomplished in this church today. Not because I'm anything, but because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you just preach what the Bible says, amen, and don't make excuses for why it's not happening, that's what we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to just pull the rug out from underneath all the religious excuses about why people don't receive healing. But this morning, I'm just going to talk to you about my wife and my healing journey, and how we learn to receive and also to minister healing. And because the Lord wants healing in you and flowing through you. If we're going to do this, the will of God, if we're going to do the Bible and get the gospel out, it's teaching, preaching, and healing. And nobody's left out. This is for every one of us here. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Say, you're a healer. You're a preacher. You're a teacher. Hallelujah. But I didn't see this. How many of you have ever been there? You read stuff in the Bible and you didn't see it happening. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? You know, and then you go to some denominational churches and they'll tell you that, you know, well, that passed away with the apostles. Well, I thought Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't cut that stuff out of the Bible. Amen? He's either the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, he just gave it to the apostles. And can you imagine when John was dying? I mean, his last days, 100 years old or whatever. And then, you know, people lined up for yards and maybe a half a mile. You know, this is the last apostle. This is the last chance for healing. Come now. And then all of a sudden, you know, man, I mean, they got people lined up people getting healed every time he touches them in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, you know, he takes his last breath and takes off to glory. And so his assistant says, sorry, guys, healing just passed away. How many of you know it's crazy? No, it didn't pass away. Amen. Healing did not pass away. Look, you know where they get that is in 1 Corinthians 13. Just look over there, 1 Corinthians 13. And how many of you know we ought to read the Bible? And we ought to be students of the Word. But see, here he says, In verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so people will teach, will see, that which is perfect is to come is the Word of God. And so when the written Word comes, we don't need all these gifts anymore because we've got the written Word. Well, that's about as ignorant scripturally, because if that was true, that's in 1 Corinthians 13, and the Apostle Paul was penning what was becoming the Word. Why would he take an entire chapter following this in chapter 14 and explain how to operate in the gifts that they're saying are going to pass away? I got to be careful. It's just, you know, there's the ignorance. And whatever people are not up on, they're usually down on. But I'm telling you, healing didn't pass away. But where my wife and I were, you know, we saw these verses. Let me show you another one. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness. Everybody say every sickness. Every sickness and every disease among the people. I mean, I read that in Matthew 4, and I get over here, and of course, then you're seeing him do all these miracles, and then you're reading Matthew 9, and I'm thinking, there's such a disparity between the Bible and the church, and it ought not to be. But that was a cry in my heart. How many of you have ever been in that place like I was? And I didn't have it, except I saw Oral Roberts, and I saw Catherine Kuhlman, especially Catherine Kuhlman seemed a little weird to me. But there was something about her that was genuine, and I couldn't get away from the love of God that was on. You could just see the love of God flowing through her, and then man, people really getting healed. It was awesome. Then I read a little more. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing most. Healing some. Healing how many? All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so I couldn't get away from it, Kevin, that it's the will of God for all of us to be healed. But then I started talking to some people in the church that I was going to about this, and they started telling me, well, you know, God made, you know, medicine and doctors now, and they do all of that. And you know what? God does use medicine and doctors. Okay, there's nothing wrong with medicine and doctors, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. There's nothing wrong with using medicine or using the natural realm. Some people demonize the natural realm and act like you can't be in faith at all if you take medicine you're deceived. In fact, sometimes you're just in pride. And pride will keep you from receiving healing. Okay? Because here's the deal. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but he didn't say man shall not live by bread at all. Try that. And what happens, we've got a whole lot of them today in the name of faith. I'm serving a Bible school, a large Bible school, Karis Bible College, and I see all kinds of people. All kinds of weirdness and goodness, kind of all rolled up in one. And in the name of faith, what if faith for some people is, you know, drawing a line and say, I'll never use anything in the natural. How many of you know that's not necessarily faith? That could just be pride. And what it is, it's like modern day Gnosticism. You know what the Gnostics did? They attributed everything in the natural as evil. And that's what some so-called faith people are doing today. And so they don't, you know, they're in, well, I'll never use a doctor. I'll never use any medicine. Well, man, praise God for any medicine or doctor or anything that can help. Amen? Yeah, let's not be goofball with this. Man, let's use what you can in the natural, right? God said a merry heart does good like a... So God, in His Word, attributed medicine as good. He healed Isaiah. I mean, Isaiah used a poultice of figs to heal Hezekiah. So look, the natural, in the book of Revelation, the leaves of the tree are going to be healing for the nation. So the natural realm is not, let's not demonize the natural realm. I mean, let's trust God. Look, I don't go to the doctor first. I believe God. Okay? But if I need a doctor, man, I'm not going to, there's a lot of people condemned because they're using the doctor to receive healing. Just, you know, get over that. Get over your pride. Pride is one of the things that keeps you from receiving healing. But my wife and I, we saw these verses and we'd ask people about it and they just tell us, no, healing passed away. Or, you know, you just don't understand, you know, and I didn't. And so my brother Scott, who has gone on to be with Jesus, had a little boy named Ryan. And Ryan, and this was after we first got saved, but I didn't know the Bible. You know what I knew? Here's what I knew doctrinally about healing. You know, in the Baptist church that I'd been in, and thank God for Baptists. I'm not against the Baptists, okay? Thank God for Methodists. If it wasn't for the Baptists, there wouldn't be any of us saved, except for Calvary Cathedral. Amen. But I mean, there's a lot of us came into the kingdom. But what they taught me to pray is all I knew to pray was if it be thy will prayers. If it be thy will. If it be thy will. And so what I did was when little Ryan was born, he had complications. He had water on his brain. And so, you know, I just went to my brother Scott. That's all I knew. My brother Scott wasn't saved. And I was trying to reach out to him. And I said, man, just believe and have faith. But that's all I knew. And I said, we just prayed if it be thy will prayers. If it be thy will prayers on things that the Bible says is the will of God is nonsense. And what happened? Ryan died. He died. And it wasn't the will of God. But we didn't know the Word of God. We didn't have a church like this that taught us the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Do you understand how important and how significant a lighthouse church like this is, a regional church like this is, an international church like this is? Listen, guys, our church is important. And you're important. You're significant to what God's doing in these last days. Because nobody told us. We didn't know, Marty. And Ryan went to heaven early. 3 months old. That wasn't the will of God. Well, and that's what people would say. Well, if healing, listen, Greg, if healing was all the time the will of God, how come little babies die and go to heaven? We're going to answer some of those questions tonight. But that's what they use. How come they go to heaven? Or if that was the will of God, how come Aunt Bessie, she was in faith and she was a good Christian. How come she died early with cancer? And on and on and on. And so, you know, just logically, it looks like, okay, maybe it wasn't the will of God. But then I started thinking logically, well, wait a minute. It's not God's will that any perish, isn't that right? So I think that's 2 Peter 3:19. God's not willing that any perish. 1 Timothy 2, it's His will that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I started thinking about, wait a minute, hold on a minute. It's the will of God for everybody to be saved, right? Jesus died for the sins of the whole world and paid the price for the sins of the whole world. He wants everybody to be saved. But not everybody is saved. Not everybody receives the Lord. And I started thinking about that. Well, wait a minute. It's God's will for all people to be saved, but it's just because it's the will of God, it's not automatic, my brother and sister. Are you with me? And then all of a sudden the light started dawning on the lightning fast mind. And I said, wait a minute. You know, it could be the will of God for some of those people that died young to be healed, because it's here in the Bible that He wants all, just like He wants all saved, and He paid the price for all to be saved, He wants all healed. But see, I'm just talking to you about our journey. We had to come into this. And it's so significant that our witness to other people, because it can be the difference between little Ryans, other little Ryans, living and dying. It's significant what we believe and what we preach and what we share. Amen? And you can do that in a confident way without condemning people. And so, you know, we saw these things. And then I saw this verse, Hebrews 13:8. It just kind of sealed it for me. And I know I'm not really expounding anything, you know, that you don't know, but I'm putting it together for you. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same. Everybody say the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? Whatever He did yesterday, He's doing today. And I'm come here to tell this church, Calvary Cathedral International, that Jesus the healer is in this house. And He's healing today. As strong as he did when He walked the earth. But what happens is you and I have got to get on board with that. You and I have got to, you know, we've got to believe that, look, Jesus is healing, but now He's doing it through you and me. He's healing today. Say, He's healing today. And, you know, but then, and so I started to see this, and then, man, we got hungry. We got hungry. I said, we got hungry. And so I had a business at that time. And I'd come home from work late, and I'd be watching Johnny Carson. Anybody remember Johnny Carson? Okay. And I'm not extolling Johnny Carson. I'm just telling you where I was. Okay. But then we were getting hungry, and then we turned the channel whenever Johnny was out of town, and then Pat Robertson would come on. 700 Club. Y'all remember him? And Ben Kinchlow. And man, It was like Amy. God took me back when I saw Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts. I saw the love of God in that man's eyes. I saw the love of God in that man's eyes. I heard the love of God in their voice. It's the same thing the first time I ever heard Pastor preach on the radio. I heard the love of God through his voice. It was the same spirit. And man, My hope started coming alive because he started talking about some of these verses. And remember, we were in a denominational church. And my wife got really hungry watching the 700 Club and this gal, Evie Turnquist. Anybody remember her? And she came on and sang. And see, my wife was a good little girl, not like me. Not like my background, but I mean, she was a good, I mean, she didn't ever do anything wrong. I mean, the only thing, one time she went in a 7-Eleven store and was tempted to buy some cigarettes and try those out. And then she got, God gave her this picture of a big black lung, and she ran out of the 7-Eleven store. It was the worst. She was just tempted, man. She didn't even do it. It's not like Charlie and me, but anyway. but she didn't see. She heard all these people's testimonies. You know, well, I was a drug dealer. I was an alcoholic. I was a prostitute. I was all this. She said, I don't think I had a testimony. And Evie Turnquist came on and talked about how God had kept her all of her life. And then Pat Robertson said, he said, that's the greatest testimony of all, is God's keeping power. And my wife said, oh, I do have a testimony. Praise God. And then so she just dove in. I mean, dove in. and I woke up, I'd fallen asleep watching the 700 Club, and I woke up and my wife is on the phone with a 700 Club counselor praying in some language I'd never heard. Freaked me out, man. I'm thinking, what is this? This is weird. But then I noticed something. Man, I mean, the joy of the Lord came on her. Man, she was more passionate than she ever was. Y'all need to think about that, gals. I mean, a little honey, a little sweetness, and a little affection goes a long way. And all the guys said, amen. Praise God. And I mean, I just noticed that she's different. Man, she's ironing my clothes and singing, and man, she doesn't like to iron. And it's just different. My wife's different. She's changed. Then she got up in the Methodist church on Easter Sunday morning, 1976. And had a testimony and talked about the Holy Ghost. She said, you know, we sing about this every Sunday morning, but praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And now I know who He is. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you know, you got to really do a lot to get the left foot of fellowship out of the Methodist church. We got the left foot of fellowship out of the Methodist church. And then she went down, and thank God, because I would have taken us to a Baptist church. She went down the road. She'd seen on the, you know, on 700 Club about this church, and we got involved with this Assembly of God church. And man, we started seeing signs and wonders and miracles and things happening. They had every year, they had a couple evangelists. In fact, Glenn Shin came to that church, Faith Assembly of God Church. And it's the first time we ever connected with Glenn. But that's a few moons ago. But here's the deal. I started to see a church that started to believe in this. Okay? But here's what happened, though, is they brought the evangelist in, and then the evangelist would, you know, preach, and he would start praying for people. But what happened was, you know, a few people got healed, that you could see it, and others apparently didn't. And so I was back in a dilemma again. Here was a church that believed in healing, but then it was like the man at the pool, remember? And he had nobody to put him in, and it was like, you know, well, so, you know, maybe God loves this one, and maybe it's just for some, and you don't know. And because the guy would go down the line and pray for people, and some of them would get healed, others didn't. And yet the Bible says Jesus healed them all. And so I was in a dilemma about that. And some of you may be there. Or you prayed for somebody and they died. In fact, my book is out there in the bookstore, but I'll bring some more tonight if I can get to the airport. And I'll bring some more, but the last chapter of my book deals with what do you do when healing doesn't manifest. A lot of people get stuck and they don't pray for the sick anymore. They don't minister healing anymore because somebody died. And so that's where I was. I was in this dilemma. We believed the Lord. We were part of this church. They believed that God could heal, but I had no clue how to receive it. No clue. And then I had a growth come up in my neck. It became about a golf ball size. I just didn't know. I hadn't heard Kenneth Hagin. I hadn't heard Mark 11:23. I hadn't heard the word of faith. I knew God would heal. And so we went to the healing evangelist. And so I got in line. And so I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I sure hadn't lived the perfect life, and I'm focused on me, you know. And I don't know how to receive. We're going to come, you come back tonight, we're going to talk more about how you can receive, easily receive. Anybody can receive healing. But I'm telling you, we didn't know. I didn't know. And so I got in this healing line. When the doctor examined me and saw this big golf ball sized growth in my neck, and he gave out a four-letter expletive, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't nice. I knew I was in trouble. And so I went down in the healing line. The evangelist was there. And so then I bargained with God. I said, well, God, you know, my brother, he's not saved, and so I'd rather have my brother saved, and so I'm coming down for my brother's salvation. Hoping to maybe, you know, if I come down for my brother's salvation, that maybe God would throw in a little healing. But see, I'm telling you, I know what I know, that I know that God's downloaded this in me this morning, because some people are stuck when it comes to healing. And I've just got to tell you how I received it. Well, you know, I mean, he laid his hand on me and the power of God hit me, but man, I got up and I still have that in my neck. And what happened was, I didn't know that the healing power of God was working in me. I didn't know how to cooperate with it. What happened was, I received, but then I agreed, because it was still there, that I was not healed. And I didn't know. I didn't come to church like this. I didn't learn about the principles of faith. That look, just look, most, here's something very, very important. Jesus said, you go out and lay hands on the sick and they shall what? They shall what? They shall what? Does recover mean instant? Recovery implies process. And then people say, well, what about Jesus? He had all these instant stuff. Well, I know, but I'm not Jesus. And neither are you. I mean, you got Jesus in you, but I don't care. Look, I'd rather have an instant. I've had some instant things. How about you? But if it's not, you've got to keep the switch of faith on. And I didn't know that. And what you don't know will cause you to keep you from receiving what Jesus has provided. And so I got up from there and I agreed with what I felt rather than what God said. And all the time, Jesus, I already gave you these scriptures, Jesus did this for all. And then you'd hear testimonies about this one or this one or this one, and they got healed. But then I saw a verse in the Bible, Romans 2:11, that said, God is no respecter of persons. What he did, Dr. Stumbo, for one, he'll do for another. And I started, I got real serious with God when this happened. And then I had some people tell me, you just need to believe God. Well, I had my oldest was 2 years old, and then my second son was 6 weeks old. And man, I mean, my faith wasn't there to not have surgery. I knew I had to get this growth out, and that's where I was at that time. And the doctor said, well, we're going to take the growth out, we're going to see, we're going to have to do tests, see what kind of cancer it is. They found out it was from thyroid, and they said, well, now we're going to have to take your thyroid out, and maybe we don't know if we can save your voice box. Well, you get serious with God. I started praying, started seeking the Lord. And I heard almost an audible voice. The Lord said, I want you to have these three men pray for you. The cancer will die, the devil will leave, and you'll be healed. And I did. I went and had those men pray for me. They helped me deal with things in my heart, helped me to get in faith and begin to teach me about faith and teach me that, yeah, God does use the evangelists and the Lord does heal all. But let me just make a statement. He doesn't heal all through the evangelist. He might heal through other means. I'm not saying God, the healing power of God's not working through the evangelist. I'm just saying God doesn't just heal one way. Are you with me? I've had the Lord tell me, look, you know, the healing evangelist can release the power of God in you, but you got to get in my word so that you can keep what you've received. And so I went and had those tests. The doctor said, I'm just going to have you go there to see how to better operate. And he did. And I had those tests. I had those men pray for me first. They helped me to deal with things in my heart. I went and had the test. And when the long story short, they found no cancer in my body. It was gone. Hallelujah. But 1 year later, I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to take five or, how many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. No, I'm just going to, okay. But I want to draw some analogies here about the healing ministry. Listen, there's healing for you. Amen? All the time. All the time. No matter how long it's been, there's healing for you. Amen? My son Michael, 1 year later, after I was healed of cancer, had some debilitating muscular arthritic condition in his body. And this was a healing journey that my wife and I walked in, and we didn't want it. We didn't ask for it. But we learned things, and we're passing it on to you. And his joints would swell up, and his neck was swelled up, and his knees, and he couldn't crawl. When he moved, he was in pain. He was like this, and oh man, and you know, this is a little 15-month-old baby. And you know, your heart, you know how it is, your heart just goes out to babies, and you know, he's just suffering. He would only eat, what was it, strawberries and raisins, just raisins. I mean, he was crying all the time. Janice and I had to take turns watching him. We took him to the doctors. The doctor gave us some long name, but he said, there's no known cure for this. We can do some muscle biopsies or pump him full of steroids, which could have made him sterile, you know, and all that. Now, praise God, he's healed and he's given us 3 grandchildren. But here's what I started to say. Just like, and I don't have no disparaging thing about healing evangelists. Okay, but I'm just saying that what happens is we get healed in one method, and then we think that's the only way God heals. And so when Michael was so sick and they couldn't do anything for him. No medical treatment. They said if this progresses, he'll never walk. And he'll probably die by the time he's 10 years old. And this time, guess what we did? Guess who we went to? Who did we go to? Those 3 guys. And this time, guess what happened? Nothing. And that's because the Lord told us, I want you to immerse yourself in my word. See, this is the premise of the book that I wrote about your healing door. There's many keys and many healing doors. I'm only one healer, but Jesus uses different methods. Stretch out your arm. Go show yourself to the priest. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Whatever it is. See, it's not always the same. And this time he said, I want you to write down some scriptures. And I want you to immerse yourselves in my word. And we began to hear Kenneth Copeland. We began to hear Kenneth Hagin. We began to hear teaching on faith, and we begin to get the Word of God in us. And see, we went to have prayer, and this, praise God for prayer. We need it. Amen? I mean, you know, man, I did it all. I confessed the Word. I had prayer done. We did everything, okay? Which act of faith it brought healing to Michael? All of them. How many of you ever chopped down a tree with an axe? How many of you ever chopped down a tree? Which chop on the tree brought the tree down. All of them. Yeah? And so we wrote down 70 scriptures, nothing magical about it, in categories of, and somebody needs to do something along these lines. I'll have my books here tonight, Lord willing, that has this has these very scriptures that we quoted over Michael. But we quoted them 7 times a day. Nothing magical about that. We were just immersing ourselves in the Word. We wrote down scriptures on healing, on authority of the believer, and on the integrity of God's Word. And we quote, my wife and I lived in those scriptures. And we spoke them over Michael. We spoke them over our minds. And we spoke them to the devil. And we were doing that for what, 2 months? I mean, 2 months. Until one day, one passage of scripture out of the 70, Billy leapt off the page into our hearts. Psalm 119, 89, 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is unto Michael and his generation. And let me tell you something. From that moment forward, Michael started improving. Amen. And Michael was healed. 2 months later, a month later after that, he crawled. 3 months later, he walked. A year later, or 6 months after that, there was no sign of that disease in his body. Listen. Here's what I'm saying. Those scriptures I read to you, they're true today. I said they're true today. But you've got to assimilate that word into your heart until you believe His report above every other report. The Bible says to whom, who shall believe? Well, let me just read it. So Isaiah 53:1. Isaiah 53:1. And I'm going to tell you one more story, and then I've got the airport in sight, and we will land, okay? Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? How many of you want the arm of the Lord revealed to you in your body right today? How many of you want that? Okay, let me tell you how the arm of the Lord, the power of God, is revealed to you. Okay, it's if you believe the report. If you believe this report above every other report. Pastor Bob spoke a message, I'll never forget it, in Colorado at the minister's conference years ago. And the essence of the message was the first report's not the last report. You remember that, Pastor? The first report's not the last report. You know, when you get that friendly letter from the IRS, the first report's not the last report. You know, you get that report from the doctor, the first report's not the last report. You know, you get that report from the banker, the first report's not the last report. You know, you get that report card on your children, the first report's not the last report. Amen? Come on. It's not the last report. Listen, if you'll exalt the truth above the facts, the truth will win out. The arm of the Lord will be revealed. But what happens is, you know, we agree with what we see, and oh, I guess the doctors know, and all this stuff. No, the doctors, they only know what they see. But we've got inside information. Amen? And man, we got a hold of the Word, and Michael got healed. Amen. I said, Michael got healed.
Hallelujah.
And then let me just bring it down, and we're landing. I'm telling you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a miracle worker. And I'm proclaiming to you, I'm telling you, our healing journey, because we grew in this. And I don't know where you are, but I'm encouraging you, don't miss tonight, or if you have to miss tonight, get the CD. Okay? Because we're going to help you get healed. I'm telling you, I didn't know anything, and I just started learning, and I just started growing, and I just started seeing. Jesus doesn't just do it the same way, but He always heals. I said He always heals. If you'll exalt this report above every other report. But too many times, doctors have functional authority in the medical field. And so when they say something, we agree with them and believe that greater than the Bible. Let me tell you something. If you value doctors, even though they know something, don't they, in the natural realm? But how many of you know we know a higher truth? And if you want healing in your body, and that's what we had to do, we didn't deny that Michael was going through that. We just denied that to have a final authority in Michael's body. And you know what? Michael's healed today. Hallelujah. Michael is Andrew Womack's daily television producer. Getting the gospel out all over the world. Yeah, and then the Lord spoke to my wife and I when we were going through that battle with Michael, and I'm telling you, it was intense. We went to a Kenneth Copeland meeting and out in California, and we went to Fred Price's church, and Fred Price called us out. And he said, "What's wrong with your son?" And because I was about to take him out because he was crying, and he said, "I want to pray for him." I'm telling you, it was intense. And I have compassion on what you're going through. But I'm telling you, you're going through. I said, you're going through. John Osteen's favorite scripture is mine, and it came to pass. Didn't come to stay. Amen? I said, it came to pass. And you're going through, and you're going to be healed. But I've told you this story, but I'm going to do that tonight. Let me just tell you this story about what Pastor preached this message at Andrew's minister's conference. The first report's not the last report. And he was preaching out of Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? Whoever believes this report, the arm of the Lord will be revealed. Amen? Just a few months later, was it 4 or 5 months when Peter died? Andrew's son, Peter died. It was some weeks after this, Andrew Womack's son died of a drug overdose. And he was in the hospital. They put a toe tag on him. They were going to send him to the morgue. He had been dead 4 hours. His son Joshua called Andrew and Jamie, who lived about an hour away from the hospital, and you know, grief and sorrow and everything came to them just like it did us. I mean, would us if we heard the same report? Remember, the first report's not the last report. Look at your neighbor, say, "I know he's talking to you now." And they were both overtaken with all that. But then the report of the Lord started coming to them that Peter had received prophecies. In fact, one at our church about what God would do with him. And those things hadn't come to pass yet. And then the Lord reminded them of what Pastor's word was. The first report's not the last report. Well, that's right. Praise God. You know, the natural, they say he's dead. But God says he shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. They started praising God. They started exalting the truth above the facts. They got down the hill and Peter resurrected. I said he resurrected. God raised him up. He just woke up. Listen, that didn't just happen. I said that didn't just happen. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the same. Here's my message today. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What he's done for Janice and me, he'll do for you. What he's done for Pastor, he'll do for you. What he did for Andrew, he'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. Amen? Say, God, you're faithful to me. You're healing me. I'm telling you, there's healing happening right now. Someone with a bladder problem is being healed right now. If that's you, just stand up and receive it. If you've been having bladder infections, in Jesus' name, I just pronounce healing to you. Just receive, sister. Just receive in the name of Jesus. Receive. Just receive in the name of Jesus. We curse these infections and command them to leave your body. Bladder infection, you cannot live in the body of Christ. You cannot live in these bodies in Jesus' name. The Word of God has authority, and Jesus is your healer today. And I pronounce healing to you, health to you, life to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Just start praising Him for it. Just start praising Him for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just praise Him. Come on, lift your hands and praise Him. Father, we worship You. We praise You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Somebody's got ringing. You've been having ringing in your ears, and it hasn't gone away. I mean, it's come and gone, but it hasn't left. Well, I got news for you today. It's leaving forever. If you've been dealing with ringing in your ears, just stand up. Let me just speak over you. In Jesus' name, we come. Those of you that are around them, just touch them. In the name of Jesus, we declare the Word of God over you, that the Word is greater than ringing in your ears. And we take authority over that ringing in your ears. And we command that to go in the name of Jesus. Leave them now. Leave them now. You can't stay in these bodies. They're our brothers and sisters. And we release the healing power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's dealing with stuttering, or it may be one of your children that has a stuttering problem. The Lord's healing stuttering right now. Who is that? Who is that? He's healing either in you or in one of your children. In the name of Jesus. Whoever that is. Father, we speak now in the name of Jesus. Loose their tongues. Loose their tongues. Loose their tongues in the name of Jesus. If they're standing for their children or grandchildren, we just declare, we send the Word of God to them. You said, Lord, You are loosing their tongues and making them whole, stuttering no more in the name of Jesus. They're going to speak. They're going to be orators of the Word of God. Orators of the Word of God. They'll declare the Word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. See, I know Jesus is healing. I know. He's the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. There's not just one way He heals. But if you've got growths, I just hear this, growths and tumors are dissolving today. If you've had any kind of growth or tumor, any kind of cyst, anything like that in your body, stand up, because the Lord is healing you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling, man, poor devil. Man, he's a loser. In the name of Jesus. Father, we speak to our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. We love them, and more importantly, You love them. The power of the cross makes them free. The power of the cross and the stripes of Jesus make them free in Jesus' name. These growths, these tumors, we speak to them, be dissolved and be removed from these bodies in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Growths, you cannot stay, you cannot live in these bodies. I'm sentencing you to death. Get out of these bodies. Be removed. Leave in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you can, if it's appropriate, man, you just put your hand on wherever that is and just command it to leave your body. Just command it to go. Just command it. Listen. Here's what the Lord's saying. See, this is one of the methods that He's going to use to release you from that. The Bible says that your tongue is like a rudder of a ship and it's like a bridle on a horse. It'll turn that ship around, and it'll turn, that rudder will turn the ship, that bridle will turn that horse, your tongue will turn your body. Amen? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. You stop agreeing with what is, and you call those things that be not, and you watch and see, and you write in, or you give pastor a note and tell him how he's healing. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. There's somebody's got scar tissue in their uterus or in the female area. You've had scar tissue, and the Lord's healing scar tissue right now from past surgery, from past things that have happened, trauma. The Lord's healing scar tissue. If you know if that's you and you've had that, just stand up. I'm going to speak healing in Jesus' name. We release healing from scar tissue in the name of Jesus. The Lord's doing internal makeover on you, internal surgery in the name of Jesus. Make them whole, Father. Deliver them from scar tissue. It's just causing pain. And I just release them from this, and I command an internal makeover in each of these in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some others are dealing with cysts on your ovaries. Okay? Cysts on your ovaries. And that's very painful. It's very painful. We curse those cysts. Command them to leave. Whoever that is, stand up. We curse those cysts. Command them to leave. And go in Jesus' name. We command those cysts to go. And you cannot stay on these in the body of Christ. You cannot stay. In Jesus' name, we just announce your defeat and the healing power of God prevailing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Listen, guys, God's doing more than this. He's doing more than just this. He's doing more than just this. More. There's more going on. And you can just take hold of the healing power of God and start exalting the truth above the facts. Listen. All I'm telling you guys is I just share with you my journey. And it's just, look, if he'll do this for me and Janice, and I'll share more with you tonight, he'll do it for you because he's no respecter of persons. And then here's the deal, guys, is you know what? I made a decision when the Lord healed me of cancer, Jim. You know what I decided? I'm going to preach this from the housetops. I'm going to proclaim Jesus is not only Savior, but he's healer. To all over the world. And you know what? I'm doing that today. We're on healing school. I teach at healing school at a Karis Bible College, and it goes live streaming to thousands of people all over the world. People are being healed. And I know Jesus is a healer. Say, Jesus is my healer. He's still healing today. And I receive him as my healer. The healing power of God. It's working in my body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You know what if it was nothing more than the fact that Jesus loves you? Just knowing that Jesus loves you is enough. Amen. Pastor, I want to thank you for leading a house that proclaims these truths of the Word of God, faith in the Word of God, the healing power of God, the move of the Spirit, because people desperately need to hear these things, these truths. And I appreciate you allowing the Spirit of God to move, you allowing this church to be a healing house. This church not only is going to be known for salvations, but it's going to be known for notable miracles. Notable miracles. Notable miracles. And however pastor leads it, I don't know, but I just see there being healing services that are on a consistent basis, and people bringing people from hospital in terminal cases and wheelchairs, all kinds of things, and they leave well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Father, because Pastor has led this house of healing, we want to speak to him strength in the name of Jesus. Strength total restoration. Father, strength in the name of Jesus. Health in Jesus' name. Wholeness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Supernatural health, supernatural recovery, supernatural strength, Father. And Lord, I thank you for a new touch of the healing power of God on his life and through him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Well, let's thank God for his healing power in this room today. Hallelujah. I said, let's thank God for his healing power in this room today. Amen, amen. I'd like to be a blessing to our brother today. We'd like to bless people here at Calvary. Thank you for a moment.